This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Joy Now, Trans Positions, a safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Trans Positions on Joy 94.9.
Good evening. You are listening to Trans Positions. My name is Michelle. Joined tonight by my co-host, Migsy.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I was going to say, very well done just before, actually.
Thank you.
I was listening to you quite intently while you were there on World Wide Wave, and your story is quite an amazing story. And I get quite oblivious to your story because we just talk stuff all the time. And
we just talk bullshit at the time.
Well, yes, we do.
But the thing is, the best part about what we do on this show is it brings a lighter side to some of the darkness that and the negativity you see within the community.
Yeah.
We try to just have a bit of fun and
absolutely
laugh at ourselves.
We do say that negativity from time to time, and
it's a good Aussie humor, mate.
Oh yeah, good on you, mate. Sweet, mate. Hey, look, I tell you what, guys, we have got an amazing show lined up for you guys tonight. We have Jo Hurst. We're going to be speaking to her later on tonight. She's the author of The Gender Fairy, and we're going to talk to her very shortly just with regards to what happened when she was up in Canberra just on yesterday, Monday,
a small continuation from our back to school series we did recently that you'll find in our podcast that were just popped up there too.
Yeah,
but also bringing in Kelly Glanney from Sydney.
Yeah, so we're talking to Kelly as well. So we're talking about the IQ2 Ethics Centre debate, which is quite appropriate at this point in time. But also we'll be talking to Kelly with regards to the Gender Trailblazers, which is also happening in Sydney next week as well.
Everything's happening in Sydney next week.
So you quickly had something to say.
No, so I couldn't have done it better than she.
Very well. Hey, look, I've got a great track lined up for you guys tonight. It's a love song. It's a dedication. It's something for Cardinal Pell from Tim Minchin. So it is a love song. Come home, George. We want you back. You are listening to Trans Positions on Joy 94.9.
It's a lovely day in Ballarat. I'm kicking back, thinking of you. I hear that you've been poorly. I am sorry that you're feeling blue. I know what it's like when you feel a little shitty. You just want to curl up and have an itty bitty doona day. But a lot of people here really miss you, Georgie. They really think you ought to just get on a plane.
Just get on a plane.
We all just want you to come home, Cardinal Pell. I know you're not feeling well, and me and Crook ain't much fun. Even so, we think you should come home, Cardinal Pell. Come down from your citadel. It's just the right thing to do. They have a right to know what you knew. Couldn't you see what was under your nose, Georgie? Back in 73 when you were living with Jerry. Is it true that you knew but you chose to ignore? Or did you actively try to keep it buried? And years later, when survivors, despite the shame and their fear, stood up to tell their stories, you spent year after year working hard to protect the church's assets. I mean, with all due respect, dude, I think you're a scum, and I reckon you should come home, Cardinal Pell. We know you're not feeling well. Perhaps you just need some sun. It's lovely here. You should come home.
You pompous buffoon, and I suggest do it soon. I hear the tolling of a bell, and it has a pelion knell. I wanna be transparent here, George. I'm not the greatest fan of your religion, and I personally believe that those who cover up abuse should go to prison. But your ethical hypocrisy, your intellectual vacuity, and your arrogance don't bother me as much as the fact that you have turned out to be such a goddamn coward. You're a coward, Georgie. A coward, come and George. Face the music, Georgie. You owe it to the victims, Georgie. Come and face the music, the music. You toughen up and go home, Cardinal Pell. Cardinal, I'm sure they'll make you feel well. Come feel at the well. Pub in Ballarat, they just want a beer and a chat. Rang me to tell me this song could get me in legal trouble. Oh, well, Cardinal Pell, if you don't feel compelled to come home by a sense of moral duty, perhaps you will come home and frickin' sue me.
I don't know about suing. I think this is a gorgeous song. You are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. Michelle, stop playing with your phone. Stop
I'm
playing with your
tweeting.
Phone. Do you know, okay, so Michelle, do you know what time it is?
It is time for the news.
Time for the news.
Like I'm an old duck, and you put my glasses on.
Put your glasses
here.
On. You're old. You are an old duck, Michelle.
I am an old duck. Alrighty then.
Actually, I can't call you an old duck.
Why?
Because you're younger than me.
I am.
So that makes me a super old duck.
Yeah, you're what, 30?
Oh, come on! I'm 40-something.
Yep, something. All right, now, according to The Advocate, 2016 is the most dangerous year for transgender Americans. So, there's a bit of a report done on this.
In this country, too.
Yeah, well, no, America's even worse. Not, like, we don't have, like, a lot of the violence and stuff. So, transgender people are under attack like never before, with more than 36 proposed new laws across 16 states, according to a new report by the Human Rights Campaign. In all, Human Rights Campaign counts 44 bills targeting transgender people that are in the works in 16 states. That's twice more as they were introduced in all of 2015. And nearly 24 of the measures focus on trans students. The anti-trans legislation is unprecedented and harmful and alarming. According to a release accompanying the report, some bills seek to make it harder for trans people to access gender-affirming health care, and others deny trans people access to bathrooms, locker rooms, and athletic teams that align with their gender identity. They are just a portion of which the HRC called a stunning surge of more than 175 anti-LGBT bills in 32 states this year. Last year, anti-LGBT lawmakers introduced at least 125 across the country. Of those, 21 specifically targeted trans people, and through efforts of HRC, none became law.
Kind of scary.
Very scary.
Kind of really scary.
Now, the boys on World Wide Wave actually wanted to touch on this one.
Okay, let's touch
it. I'm carrying on for
it. So let's talk about this one.
Okay. So pageant winner loses crown for not being transgender enough. And let me tell you what, according to what they're saying here, I'm a drag queen. The winner of a transgender beauty pageant in the UK has had her crown taken away because organizers considered her to be not transgender enough.
That's crazy. It's either you are or you aren't trans. You know whether you're trans or not. And you know at a young age.
Well, according to this, the BBC documentary footage shows J. Daralato, 22, working out in a gym, wearing a t-shirt and shorts, was enough to label her as a drag queen and not living full time as a woman. Other video emerged 6 months after September's pageant, showing her wearing boxer shorts. According to her, she says, being transgender is not some exclusive club. There are many of us in it, and we are different from one another. She has criticized the pageant as forcing transgender women into female stereotype of long hair, tight clothes, and lacy underwear. To be honest, if this says that I must be a drag queen.
Yeah, you know, you walk around society and you see women of all different shapes and sizes, hair lengths, haircuts, and everything else like that, all in between. How can you prescribe this seriously? A woman has to fit a certain stereotype. That's kind of really unfortunate.
You know what? To me, honest, I still wear boxers every now and then when I go to bed, so I find them still comfortable. So meh.
Yeah, well, you're a woman still.
I am still a woman.
Yeah.
Now, over in the UK, transgender patients forced to wait for 4 years for sex change operations on NHC. We should really reach out to Stephanie Hurst on this one.
We should, actually.
They're saying that many patients are forced to travel hundreds of miles for treatment. She says the results are heartbreaking. People seeking hormone therapy and transition surgery should be granted an appointment within 18 weeks, but they're waiting up between 12 and 18 months, up to 4 years for this. So this, it's just patients are facing a lottery code postcode lottery as a seek services. So, yeah. Now,
this is a good news story.
This is going to be flowing into our bit with Joe. So one of the things we covered recently in our back to school series was a group of young transgender people going to Canberra to lobby for change. Mm. As we discussed, according to law, trans kids need to go to court to access the second stage of treatment, regardless of what they and their parents want or doctors recommend. Mm. There's been a fair few articles discussing the parents going up there to Canberra to fight the family courts to get approval for cross-sex hormone therapy before they're 18. At this stage, Australia is the only country in the world that requires court approval for what is known as second stage of treatment, where trans males are given testosterone and females are given estrogen. So the estimated cost is between $10,000 and $30,000 for young people waiting to get the okay. And so we will be talking to Joe shortly about the update coming up in Canberra. And that's the news.
You are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Is there antagonism between trans women and drag queens? I wouldn't actually say antagonism. Unfortunately, people look at us, and one of the first things they start asking is if we're drag queens, and drag queens are more of entertainers, and we're not entertainers.
No.
So that's what it is. And it's just not nice being confused as an entertainer
I'm a woman.
Exactly.
I'm a woman.
It's an identity thing, really. So nothing against drag queens. I love quite a few drag queens.
Yeah.
Guess who's back?
Who's back?
Great Granny's back.
Yay!
Tony's back.
Yay!
I'm back. No work tonight. Enjoying the show and also World Wide Wave before. Great to hear your story, Michelle. Love Great Granny from the West. Oh, thank you, Tony.
Lovely. Hey, Michelle, guess who I've got on the phone?
Who do you have on the phone?
I have got our lovely friend, Joe Hurst. Joe, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
What?
How are you?
Joe. Good. Hey, Joe, guess what I've got for you?
What?
A round of applause. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you?
I'm tired, but I'm great. Thank you so much.
So pray tell, why are you tired?
Because a group of us, families of transgender children, went to Canberra yesterday to argue to get stage 2 hormones for trans teens out of the court where they do not belong. And it was fantastic.
A lot of foot stomping. Give it to me.
Oh, look, a lot of us, we broke up and we all saw different MPs and senators and spoke privately. But then there was a panel where we had some mums and children speak, and Michelle Telfer spoke, Fiona Kelly, a lawyer, spoke. Honestly, it was amazing. I cried through the whole thing. The mums and the children spoke so beautifully. And the room was just full of support. There is such bipartisan support for this now. I'm so hopeful.
Oh,
that sounds really good. So bipartisan support, was Cory Bernardi there?
No, he was invited. I believe Kate Doherty did invite him.
Did she?
Kind.
Yeah, actually, I think I remember Kate saying something about that. And unfortunately, I don't think, it didn't happen, unfortunately. Hey, look, so what exactly happened and what's actually the process going on from here?
So what happens is that now hopefully we will have, we'll see what happens, but hopefully we'll have a bill that is supported by everybody and we'll just go through. That's what we're hoping for.
Oh, great. And how did the kids sort of take everything yesterday? Because I understand there was a few of the transgender children up there as well.
There were a lot of transgender kids. They were fantastic. They were so great, so well-spoken, so brave telling their stories to all these politicians and strangers. But they felt so strongly about it. And why wouldn't they? It's their bodies and their lives they're talking about.
They're amazing. You need to take some photos of everybody and tag us on Twitter and Facebook and just so we can see the faces and just some of the, I'm speechless. I just think it's so awesome.
I've actually tweeted a lot of photos and Facebooked a lot of photos on the Gender Fairy page today, but I will tag you. But I've taken photos, group photos, photos of the kids, lots and lots of photos. They were just amazing.
Now, I also understand the Green Senator, Janet Rice, was there as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, she's been quite instrumental. Warren Ench put the whole thing together, but Janet Rice has been quite instrumental in putting all this together as well. She's been fantastic, and she's always a great supporter of all of our kids.
Yep.
Amazing woman.
I think probably, obviously, for Janet, her story is quite personal as well with regards to her partner. So I think this is a really good thing. Was there any sort of indication as to how long it would take for any sort of amendments to go through Parliament, both houses?
Once the process actually gets started, my understanding is that it shouldn't take too long, but we don't actually have a timeline yet.
Well, let's hope. Hey, now, Joe, while we've got you on the phone, I wanted to speak to you about something which happened in the press today, which has sort of caught me off guard, and I was a little bit sort of stumped by it because you are a stakeholder in this, because there is the Prime Minister has ordered a review of the content which is in the Safe Schools Coalition. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct.
What does that mean for you? Because you are the author of The Gender Fairy, as we spoke earlier on, and I believe that your book itself is actually used by the Safe Schools Coalition, so really you're providing content to the Safe Schools.
Yeah, it is one of the resources that Safe Schools use. They have a lot of resources that they use. And the thing is, it is really disappointing to see someone like our Prime Minister come out and think this needs to be looked at when the experts and the schools are all in favour of it. However, it's a great opportunity for people to have a really good look at Safe Schools and see what they do and look at their resources and see what a fantastic and important program it is. So I'm kind of looking at it as an opportunity for people to really, really take a good hard look at the actual facts rather than the scaremongering that's peddled around by some people and get on board. It will actually work as promoting Safe Schools in the end, hopefully.
What kills me is after having Melon here from Safe School, yourself and Kylie, and, you know, you look at some of the material we had sitting here and you look at your book and how they're describing, explaining the Safe Schools Coalition and the inappropriate material. I'm going, this is a children's book.
I know. Well, they're talking about a lot of the different material. They're talking about the material for minus 18 as well. But there's so much misinformation that they're spreading. This material is age appropriate. It is given when needed, and it is, believe me, it is needed. And when they go into a classroom, Safe Schools are always working in a very age appropriate way. For example, as you would know, because I've talked to you about the book before, when we're talking to young children, we're talking in a very age appropriate way. But when they're talking to older children, they work with the schools. It's the school's choice about what to provide the children with, and they're also working in an age-appropriate way. And I think that there's actually some study being done, proper, really good quality research being done about the effects of Safe Schools. And once this research comes out and the findings come out, science will actually prove that Safe Schools is a good program.
It definitely
and
is.
And I think...
Our interview with Sarah during the Back to School series we did, you know, helping Sarah transition within the school system, you know, and it created a safe environment for her to do that. So it's unfortunate. Yeah. I think you had something, Minxie.
Yeah, well, look, a little while ago, probably last week or the week before, I did actually reach out to Victorian, the Minister for Equality, Martin Ferguson, and Martin Foley, and he came to me and he provided me with a quote, and he said, "Labor is pleased that we launched the Safe Schools in 2008, and we've now funded to take this program to every secondary school in the state. Personally," he says, "I was pleased to launch The Gender Fairy as a book as an exemplar for what schools, carers and the wider community can do to assist gender dysphoria and questioning environments. The Victorian government is proud to support the Safe Schools and will continue to do so equally proudly. It builds better communities and saves lives."
It does save lives. And Victorian Labor and Martin Foley have been incredibly supportive of the Safe Schools program. And the reality is that it does save lives. The reality is that my child, even though he's only 7, wouldn't be going to school if it wasn't for safe schools and a safe school environment. And his mental health, it would be catastrophic, the consequences of that. And there are older children who refuse to go to school until safe schools have been to the school so that they know that it's safe for them. And what do you think happens to them when they're at home, depressed, becoming more and more depressed because they think their social group and their school environment won't accept them? And there are tragic consequences. Our kids need this. There's no question about that.
Well, I definitely, and one thing I agree with, like, I saw a petition that's going on around with Jason Twazen McShane, and I totally agree with him that if Safe School Coalition was around when I was in school, it would have been a positive impact to my well-being growing up. And this is exactly, you know, what it does. So.
There you go.
Look, absolutely.
Joe, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
We've really appreciated talking to you, and hopefully get to catch up again soon, because you do some amazing work, which we really do appreciate.
She's like an extra co-host.
She is.
I always love being with you guys. And it was amazing to hear your story, Michelle.
It gave
me goosebumps. It really did. I'll talk to you about that another time.
Definitely.
Thank you
very much.
Are you Arab and from GLBTI community? Halam is a new community social group supporting those from Arab background and other nationalities who speak Arabic. Halam celebrate the unique cultural background and diverse sexuality of Arab people of the community. Gatherings are held monthly on the first Wednesday of the month. For more information, search Halam Melbourne on Facebook.
Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Sear and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
You shot it. I'm
Welcome back. You're listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9. My name's Michelle with my co-host Mingzi. And on the line, we have our guest, Kelly. Kelly, you there?
I certainly am.
Now, Kelly, before we broke away to our messages and song, we started touching on the Information Squared debate.
Yeah, the Intelligence Squared debate is one of a number of really exciting events on during Sydney Mardi Gras Festival this year. This will take place at City Recital Hall at Angel Place in Sydney on the Thursday, the 3rd of March. For those who aren't familiar with the format, Intelligence Squared is a global franchise that's broadcast by the BBC and ABC that creates a mutually respectful debate forum where some of the most challenging ideas in the world get thrashed out by some of the brightest people in the world. It's heavily moderated. I don't know if anyone remembers just recently Stan Grant had a speech that he gave at the last Intelligence Squared debate, which was on racism killing the Australian dream in Australia, that went viral to millions of people online. It's an incredibly powerful platform that reaches an audience of 70 million worldwide, and we believe provides us with a huge opportunity to reach people with positive messaging about the trans experience who normally wouldn't tune in to the kinds of events that we have on a community level during Mardi Gras, where it's mostly we're preaching to the converted. The people who come along are already firm trans allies. One of the advantages of this kind of debate format is we actually have interlocutors coming along who disagree with us, but who understand the need for a civil and mutually respectful discourse. And we get to debate the ideas with them, but at the same time, we're also getting their followers and supporters to listen to our arguments. And that's one of the reasons that I'm really excited about the potential for this debate to change a lot of hearts and minds, not just here in Australia, but all over the world.
I know this is something you and I have been pretty passionate about and working on for quite some time now, and helping get this ball rolling. I mean, you so much more than I. There has been, without going too much depth, there has been a bit of issues around that. And I think you had questions, Miggy.
Yeah, because I know that this event, previously, before in the past, when it was announced, that there was a degree of controversy with the event. Is that right, Kelly?
Oh, there was certainly some controversy early on. The Ethics Centre set out in late November to consult with trans and gender diverse people across Australia. Unfortunately, a couple of the advocates who were approached early in that consultation, rather unfortunately in my estimation, chose to go to the media and raise concerns about what the Ethics Centre were doing before they'd really got into a conversation with the Ethics Centre about those concerns. Obviously, that caused a lot of distress in the community. Unfortunately, the Ethics Centre staff were actually subjected to death threats and a sort of tirade of vitriol which comes from our community. And
yes,
this is why I've subsequently been saying that I think community leaders have to be a little bit careful about going and saying things in the public domain that engenders unnecessary fear within our community, because my own experience has been that the Ethics Centre has been happy to listen. They've been amenable to our input. They've been totally focused on positioning this debate so that it didn't unfold in the way that previous debates or some of the commentary that we've seen from people like Sheila Jeffries and Jermaine Greer in the mainstream media has unfolded, where we haven't had right of reply, where there hasn't been a well-moderated kind of structure that precludes people engaging in dehumanizing rhetoric. So hopefully moving forward, we will get better at doing this kind of stuff. But yeah, I think this is a wonderful opportunity. We have Andrea James coming from the USA, who, as I said earlier, is one of the smartest advocates in the world. She has amazing knowledge and expertise that she brings to the table. Peter Hindle, who started a gender agenda down in Victoria, will be on that panel. And we have John Haldane, who is a senior advisor to the Pope, a theologian, who will debate the other side of the proposition, which the proposition is society must recognize trans people's gender identities.
Okay, that sounds interesting. And who else was actually on the panel as well? Is there anyone else there?
The other person on the panel is Dr. Bronwyn Winters, who is an academic from Sydney University, who is a radical feminist, but not, I guess, of the Sheila Jeffries kind of ilk. She understands the need for this respectful conversation and is really quite empathetic, as is John, as to the great hurt that gets caused by some of the more colourful sort of demagoguery that passes as commentary in our mainstream media. And so what we're trying to do here is to create a conversation that's far more nuanced, far more evidence-based, and far more mutually respectful than, unfortunately, so much of what we see in our global media.
Okay. Look, Kelly, that sounds absolutely amazing. I'm really looking forward to this event. And I think really a lot of positive things are really going to come out of it. So, look, and the other thing as well, I want to say a big thank you for joining Michelle and myself tonight on Transpositions. And hopefully look forward to seeing you next week at Mardi Gras in Sydney.
No, really looking forward to seeing you. And thanks to both of you and to everyone across the country who's contributing on some level to moving our overarching agenda forward. Together we are strong, and that by each of us taking all of our different approaches, we're all doing our little bit to make things better for all trans and gender diverse people.
Definitely. Look, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it, and we'll see you again very soon. You are listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back. You are listening to Transpositions, and unfortunately it is the end of the show.
It has come to the end of the hour, unfortunately, so we really do appreciate you guys listening to us tonight.
If you did miss tonight's show, you can get us on our podcast, which is on joy.org.au/transpositions. I know they've been a bit backlogged, but now we are completely caught up. Thank you so much to Colin and to Jason for all the hard work you've done. If you want to reach out to us, you can get us on Twitter at TransPauseJoy949, or you can email us at transpositions@joy.org.au. Or via Facebook?
Absolutely, by Facebook. So, unfortunately, it is the end of the show. So, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are back next week, and we look forward to seeing you then. You are listening to Transpositions on Joy.
Talk to you then.
Ooh, girl, you're shining like a Fifth Avenue diamond. And they don't make you like they used to. You're never going out of style. Ooh, pretty baby. This world might have gone crazy. The way you save me, who could blame me when I just wanna make you smile? I wanna do you like Michael. I wanna kiss you like Prince. Let's get it on like Marvin, yeah, like Hathaway. Write a song for you like this. You're over my head, I'm out of my mind. Thinking I was wooed in the wrong time. One of a kind, living in a world gone plastic. Baby, you're so classic. For you to notice, all the way to serenade you, doing it's not your style. I'ma pick you up in a Cadillac like a gentleman, bring it glamour black, keep it real to real in the way I feel. I could walk you down the aisle. I wanna do you like Michael. I wanna kiss you like Prince. Let's get it on like Marvin, yeah, like Hathaway. Write a song for you like this.
I never met a girl like you ever till we met. A star in the 40s, centerfold in the 50s. Got me tripping out like 60s. Hippies, queen of the discotheque. A 70s dream and an 80s best. Hepburn, Beyonce, Marilyn, Massive. Girl, you're timeless. Just so classy.
Over my head, I'm out of my mind. Thinking I was wrong in the wrong time. It's like I'm rewind. Everything was on the package. I kinda like it how you're out of my league. Old school chic, like a movie star. Silver screen, you're one of a kind. Living in a world gone plastic. Baby, you're so classic.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.